We need to remember Otis. He's down in Indianapolis at the VA hospital. He had a surgery last week, and he's doing reasonably well, but we need to continue to pray for him. And then, Lord, Jan Kalinowski had surgery Monday. She's doing marvelous. But let's remember them. And, of course, there are many that we have on our hearts and minds. Let's lift them up to the Lord as well. Father God, we do thank you again for this day. We ask you to be with us as we are here this morning. Open our minds and hearts that we might hear your word. We might hear your voice speak to us. We might be encouraged, Lord, when we need encouragement. Lord, maybe there's a challenge in our lives that we need to take up for you. Lord, help us to be all that we should be and can be in Jesus today. Lord, we pray for all those that are on our hearts and minds. And we pray, Father, for those that are meeting right now all over the city, all over this nation, all over the world, who are lifting up the name of Jesus, who are proclaiming the gospel of Christ. Help them, Father, to do so with passion, power, and strength, and majesty. And the Holy Spirit work in those places and draw people, men and boys, to you. Girls, women, to you. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, of course, my son's in the hospital there in Louisville and Fraser, and we went down there Friday to talk to the lawyer about what workman's comp is going to do or not do, and so we did that. But of course, because his ability paraplegic, and now he's walking, and so there's a lot of walking stuff in our lives now. I hear, you know, he took 320 steps. Yesterday I heard that he stood 10 minutes all by himself, not with a walker, anything else, just standing. I heard he walked down the hall, without the walker. There were the PT people there, but he walked in that way. So things are going in a marvelous way in that way. And so we just praise the Lord for that and ask the Lord to continue to work in his life. But that business of walking is on my mind, and that's the reason why I'm talking about this morning, walking with the Lord. First of all, I'd like to make a point that Amos instructs us over in Amos chapter 3 in verse 3. It's very important. It's bedrock. If we don't understand this, we'll never understand anything that has any content spiritually. First of all, Amos says, can two walk together except they agree? You know, that's kind of one of the major barriers we have in our country today, is we have a lot of people who are familiar with biblical things. They're familiar with, for example, the gospel story about Jesus being born in Bethlehem, and even maybe about, Herod coming to kill those babies and all those. They're familiar with that. Maybe they go to church someplace, maybe they do this, maybe they do that, but they really never came to the point in their life where God has confronted them that they need to agree with him. Our precedent is in this phrase of a negotiation and trying to get the Congress to agree to some money for a wall and all that kind of thing. And they're negotiating. Listen, God's not negotiating with anybody. He makes covenants. He promised you he'll do this if you'll do that. And so if you agree with him, that's what repentance means. It means to agree with God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All are sinners. All of us need a Savior. And when we agree with that and confess our sins and ask Christ to come into our lives, then and only then do we become believers. Then and only then do we become the church. Then and only then do we become priests. All those none of those things are applicable for people who just know something about Jesus. So we have to agree with God. So there's the basement, okay? Don't want to come back to that, but there it is. And you remember that as I go on. So I want to talk to you a little bit about walking with God. Over in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9 it says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah, what does it say? Walked with God. Over in Genesis 17, it says, and when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, so he was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram, and said to him, I am Almighty God. walk before me and be thou perfect. Be thou blameless. Over in Genesis chapter 5, Enoch, it says, walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. A lot of walking going on there. In Micah chapter 4, verse 5, Micah says, for all the people walk each in the name of its God. We're all walking. We're all walking. This depends on who we're walking with. This depends on where we're walking to. Everyone's walking. They've got some idea about who God is and how God should deal with them and how God interacts with them, and they move on that. Some people who do not, they say they're atheists and they have no concept of God whatsoever. They're still going someplace. They're still walking a way. So Micah reminds us that everyone is walking, but he says, but we walk in the name of the Lord our God. And then he adds, forever and ever. It's an endless thing. Over in Psalms 119, verse 1 says, blessed are those whose way is blameless, whose walk in the law of the Lord. Walks in the law of the Lord. In Psalms 23, this is one you probably have on your heart and your mind. It's a very powerful psalm. Many people memorize this psalm. Many people want this at their funeral and all those kind of things because it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I'm not going to fear anything because I'm walking with God. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Isaiah chapter 2 verse 5 says, O house of Jacob. We usually say Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Because Jacob is Israel. But I like it when it says Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob especially. Because does anybody know what Jacob means? I was talking to a young man in Michigan, that's not too long ago. He said, my name is Jacob. And I said, oh good. I said, you know what your name means? He says, no, my mother wanted to name me Robert, but my dad didn't want to call me that. And so they settled for Jacob, and they call me Jake. I said, oh, that's all well and good. I said, but do you know what your name means? He said, no, I don't know what your name. I said, your name means supplanter. I said, it's very appropriate for you to be a used car salesman, and your name is supplanter. He didn't get it. He didn't get it. But anyway, O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. So we have just tons of Old Testament references that God says, come walk with me. Paul exhorts us over in Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 2 he says, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us. We're going to walk. Over in chapter 4 he says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling in which you have been called. Paul says over in 2 Corinthians, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We're walking. I think we can probably say without a shadow of a doubt, if we went back and ran some of these references and got ourselves familiar with that concept, that authoritatively, from the very beginning, God wanted to have a relationship with us, and it could be put in or crouched in terms of walking together with God. Walking with God. Being a partner with God. God Almighty, our Creator, everything He has touched was good. And he wanted to have a personal relationship with Adam and Eve, his highest creation made in his image, remember? In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8 it says, tell us, again, God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Who's he looking for? Adam and Eve. Walking. Walking carries with it all kinds of connotations. Companionship. It talks about dialogue. It talks about making joint decisions together. God gave to Adam certain things that he was supposed to do, name all the animals and all those kind of things. He had certain tasks to do. God wants a relationship with us. This is nothing new. It began right there in Genesis, and that's the whole thing all the way through. God wants us to walk with him. Every day, walk with him in unbroken fellowship between us and holy God. Wow. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Well, you know, years ago, my wife, of course, was a nurse. She worked in the ER there at St. Joe for a number of years. So she would work and get off at different particular times. Sometimes she worked in the daytime, but most of the time she worked in the evening. Most of the time it was supposed to be 3 to 11. Most of the time 3 to whenever. But she wanted to walk when she got home. I suppose she wanted to walk and kind of unwind a little bit from the day. Many, many times she was there and there was all kinds of stuff going on. We'd walk around the block. I say walk around the block. It was actually blocks. It was a couple of miles. We'd walk in our housing area and we would talk and she would tell me something about what was happening at work that day. And maybe they saved somebody's life. Wow. Fantastic. Or maybe she would tell me something weird had happened. One particular instance I remember right off the top of my mind, they had a stabbing victim come into the ER, and they took this girl back in the back, and there was a guy with her, and the administrator person was trying to get the records, and she was asking this girl, when did this happen, where did it happen, all this kind of thing. How long was the knife? The guy reaches in his pocket and says, it was about that long. He's the guy that stabbed her. He's still got the knife. Bing, bing, bing. All kinds of security got to come to the ER, you know, because here's a guy in there with a knife who just stabbed somebody. Now they're, obviously they probably weren't on good terms a few minutes ago, but now they're all lovey-dovey, you know. He didn't mean to stab me. Well, anyway. So she would tell me about all these kind of things as we walked around the block. So it was a wonderful time. It was kind of a special time. It was kind of our time. Just the two of us, just Sonia and I. Until, of course, we went down the block and she caught her foot on one of those little pieces of concrete in the sidewalk that was a little bit elevated and boom. And I'll never forget because she did a double flip. How she did that, I don't know. She hit that. She didn't just go blunk. She went bloop, 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 blunk. Wow. And I watched it. It was like slow-mo. You know, wow, look at that. And so she's laying on the ground in writhing in pain. I come up to her and I'm trying to, you know, get her up. Stand up, stand up. Don't touch me. I hurt my leg. Well, you got to stand up. And so just about that time, two girls from across the street who were also walking, their little dog, came across the street and said, can we help you? We just saw, you know, yeah. And so we talked for a few minutes and I said, well, let me go back and get my truck because I'm going to, you know, take her to the emergency room. She's fell, probably broke her knee. And she did. She broke her knee in three places. And, of course, they took her in after that and they told her she was too young to do a knee replacement. So the doctor said, we're going to wire that baby together. And you know how they get that thing out of there? There's like a little part that sticks out. He grabs that and pulls it out. Isn't that cool? It's okay for me because I wasn't going, you know. But anyway, so we did that. So we haven't been able to walk since then because she had to have, her knee had to get well, had to heal. She began to walk again a little bit. She was over here in Walmart and tore the meniscus in her knee, same thing. So then she went back for surgery for that. And then, of course, there was that period of time they're supposed to get healing and all those kind of things. So she said, well, I think I'm good to go now. I'm going to go back to work. And so she worked 2 days and tore the rest of the meniscus. I don't know what it is, some kind of something there. And tore the rest of it. And now she's back out again with her knee. So, you know, we had all those kind of things happening. That beautiful time that we had was kind of put on hold. You know, to me, there's a lot of interesting coalitions between physical walking and walking with the Lord. One is that sin breaks that walk we have with God. And it has to be restored. Just like I said a minute ago, we need to be able to agree with God. And so there's that restoration that has to come. If it does not come, we cannot walk with the Lord. Jesus came to make that break whole again. Over in 1 John, first chapter, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, and then what does it say? And walk in darkness, we lie. For we do not know the truth. There has to be a restoration of the relationship to walk together again. Walking with God, like I said, mirrors physical walking in many, many ways. Sadie probably doesn't want me to say this or whatever, but I just had such a great time watching Honor. He was so cool. You know, he was getting up when he first got to get, and he would do this, you know, holding on to something, you know. And it was, you know, he was just smiling like, you know, I've done this marvelous and wonderful thing. And then, of course, he started walking around things, you know, like that table out there. He would grab that table and he'd walk to that table. And then he would reach out to go to that chair over there. And he'd reach out to go to that chair over there. He'd reach out to go to that chair over there. And then he would sit down and go too far. But one day, he was over here at that table, and he was trying to get to the bench there at the window, and he was like that, 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 and all of a sudden, he took a couple steps and he was right there at that bench. I thought, wow, wow. And he turned around, grin. I'm telling you, he had a grin on his face, unbelievable. So it's funny, you know, how you watch that and see that, and now I see him coming in with Pam, his grandmother. Sometimes she's got his hand, and he's just walking, man, you know. And he's leading her. He's leading her. So you know, there's a process for us to walk with the Lord. You know what that process is? Spiritual growth. We're like babies. We start off, we can't walk. Or if we do begin to walk, we're real shaky and we're always holding on to everything. We don't want to let go of stuff, because that's our security, you know. We don't want to do that. But finally and eventually we start walking with the Lord and we begin to grow and we begin to walk in a direction that God has for us. And there's joy in that. There's joy in that. But walking with the Lord is not just a period of time in our life. Pretty soon Honor's going to be running if he's not already. Pretty soon he's going to be I like it. When I walk sometimes with Grayson, he puts his hand out and he takes my hand. I like that. Because I know one of these days he's going to go, I got this. Well, walking with the Lord is a process. Over in Genesis chapter 5, it tells us that Enoch walked with God and he was not. Do you know how many years he walked with the Lord there? 300 years, the scriptures tells us. Wow. No wonder when we go back and read about Enoch, we read about his life and who he was and what he was about. No wonder he had a very firm and strong relationship with God. He'd been walking with God quite a while. No wonder when we see Abraham, 99 years old, and God calls him from the Ur of the Chaldees and he says, walk with me, that we see that Abraham, he started out and he's up and down. Sometimes he's the perfect example of faith, and other times, no, she's not my wife, she's my sister. Remember, he told the Pharaoh that, remember? Okay, so we see that walking with the Lord is a process. Walking with God helps us in many ways, but sometimes there are several things that it helps us do. It helps us, one, to focus on the important things. There are a lot of things in this life that catch our attention and they suck away our time and do all those kind of things, but they're really not important. But the walk with the Lord requires us to focus. Matter of fact, Paul says over in 2 Timothy, study to show thyself approved. What? A workman that needeth not be ashamed. Rightly dividing that word of truth. We've got to grow. God's given us his heart and his mind in this book. We need to read it. We need to study it. We need to be men and women of prayer. Over in 1 Thessalonians, Paul says that we're to pray without ceasing. I think we have times of prayer. And sometimes in the midst of something that we didn't anticipate, maybe we'd call it a tragedy or a trial, we turn to the Lord in prayer. But we're supposed to do that all the time. We're supposed to have a mindset of prayer. Because walking with the Lord requires us that mindset. But walking with the Lord is that vertical relationship. But we want to be in right relationship with our neighbors as well. But first of all, we have to have that vertical relationship. The horizontal never comes without the vertical. The writer of Proverbs tells us, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Over in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews tells us something very important. A lot of Christians don't understand this concept. They don't like the concept. They want, let go of my hand, I'm fine. He says, do not forsake yourselves assembling yourselves together. What does he say? Even as the manner of some is, there are a lot of folks that just come, and we have all kinds of jokes about C&E Christians, don't we? Boy, they come on Christmas and they come on Easter and you don't see them again. I don't know who was it. Was it you, Dennis, that suggested we make a big banner and put it up in front and you know, on Christmas and say, see you Easter or something like that? I don't know if it was you or not. But that's the way it is, isn't it? But we'll not grow with that kind of sporadic relationship. We're supposed to exhort one another as iron sharpens iron. Barry's relationship with the Lord will help me grow. Hopefully my relationship with the Lord will help Barry grow as iron sharpens iron. And the writer of Hebrews says, don't forsake yourselves assembling yourselves together, even as the manner of some is. Even as you see what? That day approaching. What is that day? The coming of the Lord. So we need to do that. God goes before us. One of the things that, I like to do and have had the privilege of doing with my dad and those kind of things was go hunting. And if you've ever gone in the woods and plowing through, where is the best place to be if you're going someplace you've never been before? Behind the guy who knows where they're going. It's very, very helpful. Plus, they're the ones that get into the wild rose bush and say, wait, we got to turn back around here. Don't go in that stuff, you know. They're the ones that the tree branch goes whoop, and slaps them in the head. And you say, okay. So the Lord will go before us, and it's advantageous for us to walk behind him. The Lord also walks beside us. He takes our hand. He walks beside us. And then the Lord he's always willing to walk with us. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Come with me and I'll walk with you. Come walk with me. The psalmist says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. And I will guide you with my eye. You know, each day we enter into a journey into the unknown. We think we know what we're going to do. And for the most part, most of the time, it works out all right. We get up on Sunday morning. We go outside like this morning. We brush the snow off our cars and all those kind of things. We start it up. We let it warm up a little bit. We think we're going to church. And we get in the car. And sure enough, the street's pretty clean. And we get over here. We're here. So we do that. But we don't know that that's what's going to happen. Carol pointed out that down here before on Lamar, before you get to Stellhorn, there is that housing area, and they were coming out. I think they were coming out of that housing area with a snow blade, and they were pushing the snow onto the road. So the road got pretty narrow right there, because they were taking the snow out of the housing area, putting it on the road. Of course, I guess the highway guys will come by a little bit and clean it all off for them or whatever. But it's an unknown situation. I would caution you when you leave here this afternoon, right, this very day, be careful. There's going to be some slick spots out there that you're not. What happens is we get on the road and it's pretty clear and we forget about it. And we pull up, come to the first intersection and boom, right on through. We could go when that little bit of, tiny little bit of snow. I took Grayson to school on the way back. Cars, three car pile up at that intersection up there. Went one more block. Two cars were piled up. I got Caleb and we headed for Snyder. When we came back, there was three more cars over there on Trier and Reed. They were going too fast for conditions. They thought it was okay because 90% of that road was until you got to that intersection where the cars had just polished it, just slick, slick, slick stuff. And boom, there we are. So we're travelers. We're walking through an unknown land, going to an area we've never been before. It would be very advantageous to walk with somebody who knew where they were going. The Lord wants to walk with us. He'll lift out his hand. If you'll take his hand, he'll walk with you. Sometimes we desperately need that. We desperately need that. Sometimes, I'm okay. You're probably not, but we think we're okay. Walk with the Lord. The scripture says, and Abraham, God spoke to Abraham in the early Chaldees, and he said, Abraham, walk with me. Think about it for a second. Walking with God. What better guide, what better companion, what better support could you have than to walk with the Lord? Heavenly Father, we thank you who you are and what you're about. We thank you, Father, that each and every day you do not change. You're not like a windmill that goes one way and goes another. You're constant. And you love us with an everlasting love. Elsewise, you wouldn't put that hand out. Because many, many times we refuse it. Many, many times we're in our arrogance and sin. We think to ourselves, we're okay. Don't need you now. But that's not true. So help us, Father, to recognize that this spiritual journey that we are on is a walk with you. And what great things can happen when we place our hand in your hand and walk with you. Father, even this morning, even in this service, pray your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.